Spotlight.
Hello and welcome to Spotlight. My name is Rajesh Lake. Today we deep dive into World Economic Forum 2026, India's Economic Rise in Focus at WEF 2026. This year, India has mounted its biggest ever presence with a 10,000 square feet India Pavilion on the main promenade, multiple state pavilions, and a high-profile delegation of union ministers, chief ministers, and industry leaders. To discuss the impact and outcomes, we have with us Dilip Chinoy, economic analyst. A warm welcome, Dilip.
Thank you, Rajesh.
Dilip, is India now seen not just as a fast-growing market, but as a shaping force in the global economic order?
So, you know, since we are looking at it in the context of Davos, and one thing which has come out very clearly amongst all the churn and the geopolitical uncertainty and everybody making various statements, India has come out very clearly as focusing on stability, on growth, on cooperation, and on development. So if you look at India's presence there, Minister Vaishnav talked about positioning India as a major AI player. Prahlad Joshi there talked about India as the most attractive renewable energy market, with solar tariffs having been dropped by over 80%. And he said that global investors trust India's stable policy. Then you had even the state chief ministers. You had Chandrababu Naidu saying that India as a sleeping giant could become the world's largest economy if it fully optimizes its digital and human capital. The question is not whether India will become the third largest economy, but when it will become the third largest economy. You also had the launch of the PwC CEO survey, where the CEOs, when asked the question, in which country other than your own home country will you invest in? And interestingly, after the US, there were three countries which tied at 13%, and India was one of them. But unlike Germany and the other country, India in the last year's survey was 7%, and this year it nearly doubled to 13%. So global community is actually talking about its kind of interface with India, investing in India, and the growth in India. And each of the states, they positioned themselves differently, but they were all under the India Pavilion there. And they all said, irrespective of which party the state government belonged to, they said that India has a national central portal for investment. Please utilize that and we can actually look at it. So it was competitive federalism at its best, but it also positioned India very strategically. All the CEOs, very positive about India. And the states did individual programs, side events at the India Pavilion.
To attract.
A lot of MOUs were signed as a separate thing. Yeah. But if you look at Andhra, they positioned themselves as the green hydrogen economy. You've looked at Maharashtra. They talked about building this big city and, you know, they signed a deal, which is actually the talk of Davos, about this large data center which is going to come up there. And Telangana signed a deal for setting up a high-tech, state-of-the-art beauty thing. So it's multiple things happening in Davos.
So what I hear you say and what came out was that the messaging was not fragmented at all. It was more to do with unified investment story in Davos. That is how the states projected themselves. One unified story of investment.
Yes, it is. The underlying message is that if we projected a unified India, we projected consistent growth narrative there, and government, industry, and other not-for-profit organizations and all talked about India as a development center, India as a growth story. And very interestingly, if you couple it with the IMF report earlier, it is also a consumption story.
Correct. So we touched upon what the Minister Ashwini Vaishnaw said at Davos. India is working on all five layers of the AI architecture, application, model, infra, and energy, and also that we are building the foundation for global AI services. Let's hear what he said. After that, we'll discuss the story itself.
There are five layers in the AI architecture: the application layer, the model layer, the chip layer, the infra layer, and the energy layer. We are working on all the five layers. On the application layer, we will probably be the biggest supplier of services to the world. understand the business of enterprise, understand the working of that enterprise, and provide that service using AI applications. That's going to be the biggest factor of success or successful deployment of AI, because that's where ROI comes from. 95% of the work can happen with models which are 20 billion or 50 billion parameters. We already have a bouquet of such models which are now being deployed in multiple sectors to increase the productivity, to increase the efficiency, to increase the effective use of technology. We decided to create a public-private partnership in which the common compute facility is enabled by the government and subsidized by the government, so that entire population, all the students, researchers, startups, they all get access to it. And the cost is practically one-third of the cost in most of the countries. So that's a very systematic way we are moving.
So the minister talked about the systematic way of moving about and AI being a new technology. What's your comment on what the minister commented on?
So that is very interesting to take the context in which the minister made that statement. So he talked about IT companies and IT industries. And if I were to look at the GCCs, the 1600 plus GCCs in India, GCCs are no longer just supporting global teams. They're leading end-to-end product development. Over 58%, that's nearly 60% of GCCs are now investing in agentic AI. That is AI that can take actions, you know, not just answer questions like a chat GPT, right? And making India a testing ground for the next generation of automation. He talked about the 5 million people that we have here and ambition to scale another 10 million people. That we are looking at a unique applied AI philosophy, which is also incidentally a theme at Davos. And we are looking at inclusive AI for public goods, healthcare, agriculture, education, rather than just corporate applications, etc. The second thing, which also was a big topic of discussion there, was using the digital public infrastructure to ensure that AI benefits small businesses and farmers, and creating a massive domestic sandbox that did not exist earlier. And of course, right from the beginning, we're 3 years now, that India has been advocating for responsible use of AI, getting a balanced regulatory model that uses technical solutions and addressing the whole issues of machine unlearning, watermarking, deepfakes, etc. So there's a lot happening here. But if I were to look at the IT space, and you said IT is emerging as a great sector in India, there's AI, there's blockchain, and there's Web3.
Right.
If you look at all these three areas, last year, 1.7 million youths got added to GitHub, which is the IT global thing, and we grew at 14 to 28% depending on which base you take. And today we are second in that nature of compute power only to the US. And if we grow at the same rate this year, we will overtake US as the largest pool of talent in these technologies. So with the talent, with the GCCs coming in here, with Indian companies looking at applied application, and with the five-layer architecture that the minister talked about, India is poised to be a leader and a developer of AI products and services, but in specialized areas and not looking at very large compute models that the minister talked about.
So India's growth story for 2026 has been revised upwards by the IMF to around 7.3%, making it a key driver of global growth. What economic and policy reforms were emphasized at the Davos conversations to explain the resilience of India?
So there are two questions in that, and I'll just answer the IMF thing and then link it back into Davos. The IMF 0.7% added to economic growth based on India's data of 7.3% this year, but very importantly, putting a baseline of 6.4% for the next 2 years, despite the high growth here and the headwinds that are there. The reasons the IMF gave itself are very interesting. The first one was that continued government focus on capital investment going forward in the previous year. So the investment in infrastructure, roads, ports. The second one was very interesting and very unexpected. They actually said that the logistics situation in India has improved. And the third aspect they talked about was domestic consumption. So if you look at it, and they talked about the electronics story is actually replicated that we could have been a net importer of electronics, but now we're the largest exporter of electronics. We are the largest exporter of mobile phones to the US, despite everything. And the PLI scheme in India has been very, very successful. So this is what the IMF talked about. But if you look at the president of the World Economic Forum, what he stated at Davos, very interesting. First, he said India is very stable. Second, he talked about the unprecedented set of reforms that were done over the past few months. And if you relate it with the IMF report, consumption grew because of GST reforms. Logistics, Gati Shakti. The capital infrastructure was because of what we did on the focus on infrastructure and roads, ports, thing which is actually happening around the country very silently. And then you have, very interestingly, the states also pushing for growth. And each state which was in Davos was talking about growth and stability. In a thing which the Minister Vaishnav talked about, which Chief Minister Chandrababu Naidu talked about, which Prahlad Joshi talked about, all the industry captains talked about the stability and consumption. And therefore, that is leading to higher growth and greater confidence in India, and again, reflected in the PwC report.
So you have repeatedly underlined India's use of modern technology, digital public infrastructure, UPI-led payments, platforms for inclusion as a differentiator here. How did global peers react to India's model of combining high-tech with mass-scale welfare?
It's very interesting. First of all, the scale that we have in India is not very easy to fathom. And if I were to look at the discussions and the points that people had, they said, okay, how are you doing it at scale and how are you doing it at cost? Because if you look at the UPI, it's also a cost and scale. In the South discussions that we had and the other discussions that we had, many countries wanted to replicate it. And when the minister linked the presence of public digital infrastructure to the use of AI and the growth of AI, it actually added a new dimension. So a lot of countries are looking at it as a very important aspect. If you look at the many global companies which have built applications at scale on the digital public infrastructure in India, which they're unable to do elsewhere. And they're also appreciating this and communicating a very positive message in the global scale. And you take from the G20, or now you'll see it in the BRICS, India is demonstrating the digital public infrastructure wherever they're going. There are parts of it in the India Pavilion when you look at it anywhere in the world.
Okay, you mentioned about 9 states, and you also mentioned from coast to heartland pitch that was made at Davos. How does it translate in the practical investment terms?
Okay, so if you're looking at the different states that you talked about, let's talk about states and what they did going forward. So states did parallel meetings there. They looked at, you know, whether it was the green hydrogen won by Andhra or the bioenergy dialogue by UP. And if you look at Maharashtra, they also talked about Maharashtra Innovation City. Now, what happened there is many MOUs were signed. So if you look at the MOUs that were signed there, many of them, of course, there were Indian companies there. But you saw that Maharashtra announced the setting of the largest data center possibly anywhere in the world. And a lot of people were looked at it. The logistics, Brookfield signed a $30 billion MOU with Maharashtra. If I look at Ata Capital and Panchil did a $25 billion again with Maharashtra. There was a 10,500 crore investment in UP and renewable energy. We talked about the data centers worth $10 billion in Andhra and of course the other one in Maharashtra. Green Steel in Jharkhand, or which was again valued at about 11,000 crores. Or you looked at the AI data center with SIFI Technologies, which is again 1,600 crores. So you're seeing a lot of aspects here. So Telangana, Jharkhand itself did 35,000 crores. Andhra did $22 billion. Uttar Pradesh did 33,000 crores. Maharashtra, again, huge, 14.5 lakh crores. You know, numbers are there. So these are not, you know, pie in the sky type of agreements. They're actual things which people are looking at it. And this is a very interesting development. And it's actually added a new dimension to Davos.
So as you very rightly said, the real test begins now. Now, whether the promises, MOUs and photo ops from the snow-covered promenades of Davos can translate into factories, green energy projects, quality jobs and inclusive growth across India's villages and cities. On that note, Dilip, thank you so much for being with Spotlight.
Thank you.
Listeners, you can also listen to this program on our mobile app, News on AIR, and our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official.
Spotlight.